It's going to be a tag between myself and Dr. Jacobson. We put it together. Dr. Jacobson was the director for the quality improvement team for LA County. We have no relationships to disclose. And the way we're going to do this is kind of talk about describing how to integrate the LA County Department of Public Health Performance Improvement System into the OWH strategic plan, how we came up with developing measures, and also PI implementation. We'll review strategies to use to gain staff support, and also discuss lessons learned and ongoing challenges.
So Bill briefly talked about sort of big QI or small QI. And what I'm going to briefly describe is my role as the Director of Performance Improvement at LA County in establishing an agency-wide a systematic approach to quality improvement. And the first step that occurred in our department was quality improvement is a broader term at LA County. It includes workforce development, competencies for workers, science review, and how we would actually look at the evidence base and apply it in practice. So performance improvement is that a third piece of that, which is what I lead in the department. And we consider there's three key elements to this. It starts with strategic planning, which should make sense to everyone in the room here. But we have developed tools to help programs in our department do that in a way that aligns the program planning with the agency-wide department plan. And then can actually use a prioritization tool to set priorities both across scale at the population level and at the program level. The second key element is performance measurement, and a lot of what I've been building over the past 3 years is a robust system to integrate our data sets, both population level again and program level, and find a way to consistently and routinely get data, clean the data, and then report it out agency-wide. Program directors may be doing that internally, like Susan in Office of Women's Health, but our challenge is to then bring that all centrally in a large department and report it in a meaningful way. The third key element then, which we're very excited about, is actually implementing performance improvement projects, both in units and across the department. And Susan will give an example of how she's integrated these three elements. Depending on the different programmatic units in our department, they may have done strategic planning really well, performance measurement plus minus, and not have an improvement project. So we haven't assessed it in that way yet, but it really depends on the leadership of the program director and then staff in those units. If you have more questions, I'm going to be very quickly walk through this. You can talk to me after to find out more about our structure. But it really, strategic planning started with the Performance Improvement Initiative. Actually, I'm going to move faster because I can talk a long time. But eventually, we had a very centralized strategic planning process that we then were retrofitting program-level plans and our measures into it. And Susan really took a lead in that for her unit, Office of Women's Health, and it really did a remarkable job. The second key element, performance measurement, we had our homegrown grassroots version. We hinged it on Mark Friedman's results accountability. And we then have worked in ways to tie in healthy people standards and objectives to benchmark and to organize our program services by the, we picked the NHO domains, which are now the accreditation domains, as the terminology that we prefer when we think of our services. So if there's one thing I want to stress that I think is the most important feature of our homegrown system is we very clearly separate population level health outcomes and behaviors, which can be social determinants as well, from these interventions, those activities and operational things that people want to improve. And we have found that we have to stress this consistently and persistently at all levels in the department. We see them as linked, not as either or. Visionary people tend to live in the blue box. They don't want to drill down and get into the details. Operational program directors have a problem lifting it back up into, I'm doing this to improve these health outcomes. And so the linkages, stressing this linkage has been very helpful. talk to me afterward about this. This is an expansion of that core premise, how we would walk through with the program director to take strategic planning through an evidence review, linking it in to a lot of the helpful frameworks that are already out there to make ours integrated and meaningful as possible so that we can compare nationally and across the state eventually. Again, this is a way that we would organize it from top to bottom. You can read through this in the slides, but the idea is that we get them to get into a very specific health outcome, which women's health was heart disease prevalence in the county, in a very specific demographic. They went through an evidence review, and then they chose to prioritize and educate and inform, or domain three, strategic lever, and then they picked specific performance improvement measures to match that. We want to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for really launching us into studying how we can do PI projects both in individual units and big QI across the department. We will have an evaluation of the 8 teams, of which Susan is one, next year. So hopefully we'll be presenting the results next year. Bill leads that effort across the country. And it was really taking that multi-state learning collaborative approach and bringing it into a large local health department. We're siloed, we have tons of buildings all over the county, but it really was all the things you said, in-person meetings, get a curriculum, just in time, like real-time training of the tools were all very valuable in our effort. And then we chose a modification of the IHI model for improvement that RAND Corporation had initially done of preparedness, and that has worked very well. What I'll stress here is we consistently did that core premise through everything. So when you set your aim, it's population level and your performance improvement effort together, the indicators reflect that, your process, everything reflects then that core premise. And the last thing I'll say is what made this work as well is we had originally established a department team. We called it our Learning Collaborative early on, where it has 50 plus and growing members that meet monthly as far as the timely question. And every time I try to scale it back to less than monthly, I feel like I'm not giving the just-in-time training, and it becomes very important.
So, implement performance what? Moving forward, the benefits of PI in the end really just help us do what we need to get done better. So we can assess better opportunities for improvement. It increases accountability and also helps us better evaluate program effectiveness. Having said that, you have your challenges, and these are ongoing, and that can depend on, you know, the intensity of them. In the beginning, it might be pretty intense, but later on, it might dwindle down again. But again, it kind of goes up and down. The first thing was getting the word out. How was I going to get my colleagues on board? Then also the data collection component of it. How are they collecting the information? I've had some coworkers who collect post notes or emails, and that was their data collection component of it. And then also the information gathering, are they using reputable sources? The other issue, which the previous speaker had also talked about, was unfamiliarity with the PI tools and concepts. Even though, and I'll be going in detail with it, even though I was repeating it continuously, we had to tweak it and find another way to make it work. And of course, culture change as well. We're asking people to change the way they do work. So you might get a bit of resistance, so you need some good, application of behavior change health education concepts. So the first phase was during our collaborative, it was suggested, well, why don't we, talk about PI during our senior staff meetings? And so we went ahead, had those senior staff meetings. I was given the time to talk about it, and I got a mixed response. I got a lot of resistance. A lot of people thought it was too theoretical, wasn't applicable to the work they did. Other people thought it was extra work, the plate was already full, and another person told me they already know it, so they don't have to do anything on their projects. There was some support, but not as much. Some people got it. One of them was ready and willing, when can we start? Another one saw it as a way of helping her organize the work that she does in a better way. So in the senior staff meetings, I would talk about it, but I would get the glazed look, and you know, there wasn't any accountability. So there was a decision to try and do one-on-one meetings. So I made these pretty much short, light, structured, and interactive. It was a lot of questioning on the individual from the individual themselves. From their perspective, how do they see the project working? And it wasn't what is written up about the project. In their own words, can they explain to me how the project works? Then I also asked them to show me their goals and objectives. Some programs might have objectives and, I mean, goals and objectives, others might not, or they might not be updated. So the easiest thing for me to do was, in those situations, create one based on now we know what the project is all about. The other one was also the data collection tools. As I said, I had people giving me binders or folders of post notes or emails, and that was their way of tracking. At least let's find, you know, a more concrete way of collecting the information. Another one was one individual will have to go to different sources or locations to get the information they need for their project. So why not just streamline it and make it easier? And so each session, I ended it by asking each person, so using the data you collect, how would you be able to show me that the project is working, and have you done a good job? So that started getting people thinking. So, okay, so we talk about some programs might not have goals, or they might not be updated, or they might not be specific enough. They might not be attainable, the objectives might not be measurable. So again, help create those for each project. Once we did that, we then looked about the data collection tool. So here's an example of a template-specific data collection tool. So this is for the person related to our hotline. She usually had to go through different data sets to get the information we need. Well, I just streamlined it all into one place where she could get all of the information she needs. And I also have in here, too, how we developed our calculations as well. In the end, we'll see why that's important. So selecting the PIs and performance measures. The population indicators, as Dawn was saying, one of the offices in our department created a prioritization tool, which was presented last year. So that helped us with our population indicators. The other thing we did as well was did a survey of our stakeholders. What did they think was important for our office to be working on, Office of Women's Health? For the performance measures, we prioritize the interventions. So we use the U.S. Preventive Task Force as a guideline, a community guide, to kind of help us with some of the evidence review. And then also used existing interventions with baseline data. So this will be an example of one. So this is data from our cardiovascular risk assessment that we do. So what we did, this shows up the data that we have. So from that, it helped us develop our performance measure we have at the bottom. So Dawn touched on the conceptual framework. I kind of broke it down and made it specific for us, for our office. So we have one population goal, which is to reduce the burden of chronic disease among all women in LA County, with an emphasis of low-income uninsured women in our specific age group and under 200% FPL. So with that population goal, we have several population indicators, and one of those is percent of women below 200% FPL, the target age group diagnosed with heart disease in LA County. So how we're going to impact that is going to come from our performance measure. And that one is where we have the percent of hotline callers who complete our risk assessment, the cardiovascular risk assessment. The goal of the cardiovascular risk assessment is to increase awareness of heart disease for all women with the focus of the target audience. And so once we do that, we have a second phase of that, which is, okay, if we've increased their awareness, are they going to implement the lifestyle behaviors that we're asking them to do? And so this comes to our pilot testing. So now we're going to implement our PI. So we chose, again, the cardiovascular risk assessment in connection with the hotline. So the aim for this pilot project was to increase awareness of CVD and its risk factors to low-income women and women of color within LA County by implementing an infrastructure that actively engages and develops partnerships with a select group of community partners. We have 200 and something community partners. Since we only had like 9 months, we just selected a handful of community partners to work with. And we also wanted to find effective methodologies that will help increase the volume of the hotline calls, multilingual hotline calls, and also increase the volume of our risk assessment. So in order to do that, we need to know how the process works. So that came with our process map. So I did it in two ways. And yes, it took longer, but at least we got it down. I first talked with those who work in the project with the details. So those are the people who work closely. Then I also had a process map from what the director envisioned the program to work with. Then it was a consensus between those who work with the details and the big picture people to come up with a map that worked. So here's our map, our process map. The white shows how the hotline works as a hotline. The purple, or the lavender, looks at it as an educational component for our cardiovascular risk assessment. And the turquoise blue, those are the areas we would like to focus on to try and get our calls to come up. Okay, so this is, again, from one of our templates. Dawn had talked about the NACO category, and so we've put the multilingual hotline and the risk assessment under that. So this is an example of our template. Underneath is the graphical representation of it. Two things to notice here. It looks like we're doing exceptionally well. It's just that when we first did this the first time around, we didn't do an accurate calculation in how we were doing the hotline calls. So if you remember the previous template that I showed, we had to tweak how that was done. So the standard is not an accurate representation. And because we also have, I think twice a year, where we have to submit our updates to Dawn, these changes are going to take time. So we've corrected our numbers per year. The next phase will be to change our standard, and that will change at the next update that we send to Dawn. The other thing I also want you to notice is the increase between the 08, 09 to 010. So we tried to figure out how we could improve we want to implement our PI project. We want to see how we can get it to work well. Oh gosh, time is up. Okay, so what we did several PDSA cycles. We did 5 in total, 1 a month. They ended up, so we planned the process, did it, studied it, acted based on the previous month's results. And they gave us good results, something we were looking for. So here's the quick results real quickly. Risk assessments increased from 76 to 205. The women liked material, obviously. This one shows the process. it seemed to have improved as we went along the months. And here are lessons learned, what the previous speaker had talked about. Support engagement at all levels, support from Dawn's office and also from the Director of Public Health, and then support at the within the office itself at the different hierarchical levels. And again, repeated, we have to repeat the PI concepts each time, and of course, behavior change. And there's the team.
Susan, thank you very much, and Don, thank you for the presentation. Phil, if we could take time for just one question to keep the momentum going, but we'll only have time for one question. I'll comment that one thing that was really struck me about this very excellent presentation is the Glenn Mays and I and others in the room are pursuing the methodology in terms of the science of improvement versus what all of us were trained in terms of the science of discovery. And you really laid out the complexity of that. It's a heck of a lot harder to do quality improvement projects and do them rigorously and then to show the evidence than it is to do an old-fashioned randomized control trial. At least that's my experience. What do you think about that?
That is true. All of the steps I've shown, it looks like, you know, we were able to do it holding hands, but no, we didn't. It took time. There was a lot of resistance, and so there was, because we're changing behavior, we're changing culture. And also, it was definitely support from Dawn and her office, and also from Dr. Fielding, that helped with our unit director, and then also support with others within the office. So we are all pretty much supporting each other and kind of helping each other go through it, but it did take time.
Thank you.